Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And this is Marco Bill, and this is a special broadcast from Paris, Texas on Expedition. Tonight we have for you Mr. Tom Viscardi and a whole lineup of people ready to go. So without further ado, Tom, here's the big night special.
Hey, Marco Bill, how you doing? All you Bigfoot is here, there, and everywhere. We're out here, I was going to say, in sunny Paris, Texas, but it's, what would you call this, guys?
Miserable,
soggy weather. We've got a tornado watch up to 1 o'clock in the morning. We have to worry about the boat being, what was the word that the game warden? Flooded? Okay, or swamped, as she put it, okay? But you know what? These people are out here braving the elements, you guys. Braving the elements. I mean, we've got them here from Alabama. We've got them here from Florida, Ohio, California, again from New York, Kentucky. They're all from all over the place, you guys. And I got to tell you something, they're braving it at the same time, okay? We had casted, how many total prints, Laurel?
One, two, three, five.
Five prints. This was the first time she got a chance to cast this print, and I'm going to let her give you her experience firsthand. Ladies and gentlemen, Laurel Jones from Ohio.
What, are you going to talk to me?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hello?
Hello, Laurel. How are you doing?
I'm wet.
I can imagine. Well, why don't you tell the listeners all about the prints that you guys got?
Well, let me tell you, if you ever see one, it will change all of the negative thoughts you have ever had your whole life. I have never in my life seen anything like it. And it was truly something that we saw two individual steps and then a third one, and they're trying to decide, you know, who's what.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. By the way, Tom just left, so you better keep talking to me.
Well, I will,
and,
Laurel.
Okay, and we casted them, and then when we took them out, it's astronomical to turn them over and actually see the cartilage, what?
The dermal ridge,
sorry. And the ball of the foot, that just, all the doubts I had are gone now, which is why I'm out in the rain, in the tornado, in the thunderstorm.
So what
we're going
to
find one tonight.
Campfire? What happened to the campfire times that you had last night?
We didn't campfire last night. Besides that, the rain will put it out tonight.
See, that's what everybody thought, right?
Right. But, you know, for us diehards, nothing will stop us.
I know. Can you describe some of the features of the footprints?
Some of the features of the footprints. Okay. Hold on. There you go.
Hey, Marco.
Sure.
Unbelievable, huh? That's a Laurel Jones from Ohio. Remember we talk about our sweet women on thin ice from down south in Southern California? Well, she's here with us. She got to cast a print also. And along right after her, we're going to put Andy Vanor from New York on.
Now, Tom,
so right
explain
now,
to the listeners. Explain to the listeners who these people are. Are these
expert
people, or are they just the people that came
These are everyday people like you and I and the neighbor next door, okay? They listened to us on our radio show. They heard about the expedition, and they wanted to come out and see for themselves. And I've got to tell you, these people are paying their dues, okay? And I'll put them up against anybody, all right? Right now, I want to, because I know we ain't got much time, Mark. This is Lee Leon, ladies and gentlemen. She's from Southern California. Besides being a Southern Belle, she's also, the other one, by the way, was a Texas Belle, incidentally. And this one being, besides being a Southern Belle, she's smart, just like Laurel, and she got her hands dirty. She wants to share her experience with you today. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is, Lee Leon.
Hello, Lee.
Hi, this is Lee.
How are you?
Full out here. It's an awesome experience. Really awesome.
Well, tell us a little bit about some of the experiences you've had in the last day here.
Well, it really got started today for us. I flew in yesterday. My girlfriend drove in the day before yesterday. So it's by the seat of your pants. You just, when they want to go, you go. And when they've got a lead, you go. And you just better be ready to work. So it's a lot of work. And it's a lot of, you have to pay attention and know what they're asking you to do. But it's been a lot of fun, and it's been incredible to see those footprints out there today.
Well, Lee, what did you like most about you? Now, you had some training, right? What did you like most?
No, I've had no training. I was on the job. It's swim or drown. You just listen to what they tell you, and you do it because they know what they're doing, and they're very, very knowledgeable in what they're doing. They know what they're doing.
Did you ever imagine it would be like this?
No, never. I have not stopped since I flown in last night.
Now, has it changed your mind any about the existence of Bigfoot?
I already know Bigfoot lives. I already know that. I've had an encounter in 1974. So.
Oh, okay. Well, you're one of the exceptional ones.
Some of us out here
have never had that opportunity, but it's nice to know.
Well, it's not so much an encounter as today was more of an encounter for me, though, today. It was incredible to see those feet. I can't express. It just confirms everything I ever knew about the creature to be alive.
Well, that's good. Can you tell us some of the things that you've done today?
Actually, casting was a big deal for us today because we had to learn how to do it. They are very meticulous about how they want it done. So we had to follow direction, and as the weather was getting a little bit more damp, as everything was trying to dry, we were only able to actually pick up one print that was casted. So actually, we're kind of out of luck right now because the prints are laying there, and they're probably not drying. But it's mostly casting today, and that took a long time. So these people are out here, and they're putting their time in.
Now, have you had any field experience yet?
Never. Today, tonight will be my first one.
Oh, great!
And I feel very comfortable with TJ, and I have two other team members, so I think we're going to be good.
Good. An ex-Ranger, you ought to be able to protect you.
Yeah. So yeah. So we're excited. We'll let you know everything that goes on. I'm sure Tom will fill you in on everything.
Well, I'm excited just sitting here listening. I'm going to tell you right now.
Well, this is a pleasant surprise. Thanks for checking in on us, because there's a lot of people working out here hard that are just trying to get to the truth, and I think you got some really good-hearted people out here trying to work the best for Tom and just whole cause. So
That's exciting, too, just in itself, that
yes.
that the amount of drive and persistence that everybody has in accomplishing something that Tom's been working on for 34 years now.
Right. Someone's dream, someone's heart calling. So, yeah, we're being very respectful to that. So
we're all part of it, too. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, we are. And he let us be. That's nice.
Gosh.
You want to speak with him?
Yeah,
he's
sure.
Right here. Okay. He's grabbing for the phone.
Thank
Hold
you.
On.
Thank you very much, Lee.
Thanks for the interview. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, now.
I got to tell you guys out there. Yeah, wait a minute, Marco Bill. I got to tell you something.
Sure.
These two girls, like they said, they haven't stopped since they got here last night. I would have never believed it, okay, until I saw it with my own eyes. They have not stopped. It's been a relentless trek. They've been out there through A to Z. Never ah, yes, boo, and no. They were there. Whatever we asked of them, rolled up their sleeves. We got pictures of it. Jabba Bob's got pictures of it, and he's going to put them on the net. But, you know, the computer crashed. This is the only place to get any cell coverage at all. NBC is just coming back with TJ and Snell after putting one of the first towers up. But guess who we got here? Andy Vanour from upstate New York. Long Island, excuse me. Is that upstate New York?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Is it the southern part of New York?
Yes. Long Island.
Okay, no matter what I say, it's wrong anyway. So,
I remember Andy. He's one of our listener caller-inners.
Yes,
and
that's
there.
The whole point. He's out here now.
Yeah.
Andy Vanour is here, and all of his fans, because I'm going to tell you, this guy is a ball of fun. He's just, but you know what? He's here. He made the trek. He saw the prints, and he wants to talk to you. Hey, I think you've got a fan base out there, Andy. Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Andy Vanour.
Hey, Marco.
Hello, Andy. How are you? It's nice
Good.
To
How
hear
you
from a real location here. I know you made it out there. My gosh, I can't believe it.
It's awesome.
You took the leap. Wow.
Came a long way, worth every bit.
Tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've done, Andy, some of the things that you've experienced today.
Well, I was there when they were casting the prints, and when they said it looked like Jurassic Park, they weren't kidding. I mean, I just sat back on a log and just sunk into the whole situation that I was in at that moment. And at one point, you know, a few of the people left, and I was sitting there by myself. I had my digital camera in my hand, and to the left of me, all the birds stopped chirping. And I sat back and I went, whoa. I mean, it was like somebody cut it right in half. To the right of me, everything was still going. All the birds stopped chirping to the left. And I turned and I started hearing some rustling in the leaves and shuffling, a couple of sticks breaking. So there was a little clearing, and I turned my camera on and I lined it up. I zoomed in and I just sat there and waited, praying something would. I mean, I was all ready, and it just didn't happen. And a few minutes later, the birds started chirping again, and it was over. But it was It was had my heart pounding.
Wow.
Had my heart pounding.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. I mean, if nothing else happened, success.
Well, you know, now everybody thinks that this is the comforts of home. But when you say Jurassic Park, you're talking about bare wilderness. You're talking about swampy, every kind of terrain probably imaginable, wet to dry, right?
Yes, yes. This is the extreme.
Yep.
Bugs are everywhere.
Now, all the comforts of home are left behind, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. We've got towels on. We've got spray, bug patches. We're all loaded here. I'm juiced from top to bottom.
Now, what are you looking forward to tonight?
An encounter. I mean,
you're on one of the teams, correct?
Yeah, I'm going out with Hawk
and
Hondo and a couple other people, and we're going to be cruising over on the other side of the lake by boat.
Now, as a listener before, and now as an on-site representative now, a real hunter, give the other listeners out there just a little perspective of what you feel about this experience so far.
Well, I mean, we saw the definitive proof today. We lifted these tracks. There were thermal ridges on them. Now we're going out. I mean, we're told there are snakes here. There's bugs called chiggers, and there's ticks with Lyme disease. I mean, we're really going out and into an extreme area. Not only that, this was an army base at one time, and they're showing us that all the ammo they find that's still laying around out there alive. You know, that if we do see something, do not touch it, because they have to go out there and detonate it on their own, you know. So we're really, this is about as extreme as it's going to get, you know, and I don't know what else to say.
Well, I think you've done a very good job already, I think, explaining exactly where you're at, how you feel, and what
you
see.
I think Tom wants to talk to you.
Sure.
Hold on one second. Marco, Bill?
Yes, Tom.
Okay, I cut Andy short, although he had some great comments today.
Yes.
The lightning's just about to explode and burst in the air one more time. But I have the guys from ABC that just made the trek across the lake to set up one of the towers, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I have to tell you, one of them asked, Kate, can I please be on? And you bet they've been sensational. Doug and Mike Castellucci from ABC. I don't know what these guys are getting paid, but it's not enough. I'll tell you that right now. These guys waded into their ankles into the lake to get into the boat. The poor camera guy, I mean, he's getting soaked. And they earned their pay. And if ABC is listening out there tonight, these guys should get some type of accommodation, because this is above and beyond the call of duty. In any event, he wants to say a few things to the listeners out there, Marco, Bill. Let me introduce him to you. His name is Mike Castellucci, a fellow Paisan. Mike, Marco, Bill.
Well, hello, Mike. How are you today? And why don't you tell the listeners what your perspective is on everything today?
Well, sure. And first I wanted to tell Tom after that the trip through the lake and the lightning and the rain and the mud, I thought this Bigfoot hunting isn't easy. Let me tell you that.
I think that changes a lot of people's opinions once they get out there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, this isn't for the weak or the timid, which I was until about 2 hours ago. So, no, this is really something. We saw some incredible tracks, and, it's just hard to describe unless you're out here doing it. And this guy that's been doing it for 35 years, is my hat's off to him. And I would actually do that, but it's raining too hard.
I can understand that. Well, Mike, one of the things that's difficult for probably a listener or even an everyday individual to envision is the real existence of one of these creatures. But when you get down and dirty and you really see some of the left behind things, the imprints and other things, does that change or sway your persuasion to believe it?
I'll tell you what changes or sways your opinion on it, and that's being around Tom for any length of time. And I do have a lot of questions to ask him, and I literally haven't had the chance to do that yet. I'm going to do it, but I my thought is, if I was a skeptic before I came in, now it's kind of changed to, yeah, you know, these things probably could exist. How have they eluded people for so long? I think that's the shift in the question.
And I think you're right, Mike. I think you're very right, because a lot of people think, well, if these things have been around so long, how come nobody's gotten one? How come we haven't seen them?
Right.
And individuals have seen them, but I mean,
right.
As a body of people, the general public, other than a little newscast here or there, and it's pretty much localized. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to say, and this is we're talking on what, an actual broadcast,
mm-hmm.
about this subject, about Bigfoot, right?
Yeah, yeah. We're
one
of the things that happens is that people don't realize is, for instance, last year, Tom Biscardi and his team and other organizations that joined them, they went out on the road for 7 months straight, and they went a couple times after that. But basically, there was over 20 news television spots in different areas of the country. And what happens is these things air in their own area. There was only a couple of national ones, you know.
Right.
And people only in the localized area hear about this. But in
right.
August, about August 20th, and this is up in Saskatchewan, Canada.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Within a 3-day period, they had 20 sightings. Now you got to understand, there's nobody there.
Right.
That lives there. It's not a big town. It's out in the nowhere land. And 20
right.
sightings in 3 days. So,
right.
I mean, these are the kinds of things that the general public just doesn't see or understand or know about. So it also keeps us blinded to the to facts and other things that we don't realize. But go ahead,
yeah.
Mike, explain some of the other things that you've done.
Well, today, that's literally been about it. We've been nonstop. Tom did provide some food, which I was glad about, because we were starving. We're moving so quick, but he's been good about that. But here we are, right in this remote area in Texas, and I could see his passion, and I just wish that he could bring one home. Maybe he will someday.
By golly, you might be able to do it this weekend. We'll find out. You know,
well,
one of the
true.
Things I was going to ask you also, Mike, was this. You know, when you get hungry, right, you think
right.
about the old pioneer days and some of those other times where people were out on their own, and you kind of figure out how much did they have to carry with them. And here
yeah.
you are out in nowhere land. You can't go to a Burger King or a McDonald's.
Yeah, that's
You're
right.
hungry like you normally do.
And that's exactly right.
Something
Please,
you have to
give,
plan
give me some plush carpet and a high rise. I'm gonna give you back to him, and then I'm gonna ask him some questions. So I appreciate the time.
Well, thank you, Mike, and thank you for giving us your perspective of everything that's going on the expedition today.
Hang on. Hey, Marco Bill.
Hello there, Tom. How you doing?
I gotta tell you something. These guys are incredible. I mean, Mike, Doug. And not a squawk, not a cry. Man, these guys were out there, okay? I don't know what kind of story they're going to do, but I'll tell you this, knowing what they had to go through here, it's got to be a Bolton Prize winner if they're going to write a book or what have you. But they've done one hell of a job, I got to tell you that. And it's been a hell of an experience today. Where's the snake handler? Hey, where's the snake man? Hey, come here, snake man. This guy is an actual snake man. We have him here with us. His name is Bruce Shoopy, okay? Shoop.
Bruce Shoop.
He's the only guy that's licensed in the city of Paris to take out any incorrigibles, reptiles, snakes, i.e. rattlers, water moccasins, cottonmouths, panthers, anything like that screws around. But he's here. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Bruce Shoopy. He's out with us right now.
Well, hello, Bruce. How are
Hi.
You tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, great, Bruce. Great. Well, Bruce, now that's a fascinating profession, a snake. What is the name of your profession?
Herpetologist.
My goodness. And does it take a special kind of some special kind of talent or anything to
take schooling?
Really?
Yes, sir.
Now, you handle poisonous snakes, non-poisonous, every kind, huh?
Yes, sir.
My goodness. Can you give the listeners just a little perspective of your experiences? Have you had any really bad experiences?
Yes, sir. Well, growing up in South Florida, I've dealt with everything from copperheads to water moccasins to anaconda here in Paris and alligators.
Oh, alligators, too. Wow. I know those are dangerous.
Yes, sir.
I remember a guy on the golf course that was out there playing golf, and then all of a sudden he wasn't there, and then 3 days later they started looking around, and they found the big alligator that was wandering around there, and he was a little fatter than he was before, and they...
Yes, sir.
They had to take him out.
Yes, sir.
So right now you're based out of Paris, Texas, correct?
Yes, sir.
And how long have you been in Paris, Texas doing this?
About 4 years now.
Uh-huh. Well, give us a little perspective of what your perception is of how things are going today and what you've done today and a little bit of your background and how you see things.
I see, you know, that we're going to be very productive tonight. And we're going to get something, you know. I just got that feeling.
Wow, that's good. Now, did you get a chance to go take and cast the tracks and things like that?
No, sir, not yet. I'm looking forward to that.
Uh-huh. Did you see the tracks?
Pardon? Yes, sir, I have.
Okay. And then has there, other than being out on no man's land, somewhere where you don't have a McDonald's or anything to get a cup of coffee, the weather's pretty bad, I already heard that, but... What's your perception of the layout of the land and things like that?
It's going to be kind of not easy terrain, but I think we'll manage it, you know.
Uh-huh. Now you're going to go with a group of people?
Yes, sir.
And how many in your group?
I think five people in a group.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, five groups.
Super.
Five groups.
Well, that's super. Well, heck. Have you had any experiences that were really exciting in your profession?
Just alligators and snakes.
What's the most exciting one that you've had?
Saving two kids from an alligator.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Where was that at?
That was in Clearwater, Florida.
In Florida? Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Marco.
Hello there, Tom.
I know we only got 3-4 minutes, and I want to get Java Bob on there.
Certainly.
He has his listener group out there. So, Jack, you should see him. It's like a big teddy bear. He's on this big poncho he's got on. And I got to tell you, all these people here, every one of them, okay, have gone since early this morning until now, and they'll go on until 4 o'clock tomorrow morning. I take my hat off to them. This is the real Bigfoot around the world, ladies and gentlemen. They're here with us right now. Jabba Bob, say hello to your fan base out there.
Hey, hi, everybody out there. Let me tell you know, I fried my computer out here, so I can't get to that website right now. But we've got some outstanding pictures to share with everybody, really good stories to tell, and this has been an amazing, amazing expedition. Lots going on, and I promise everybody, as soon as I can, I'll update that website, and you can all see what's going on out here. So keep an eye out for that. It might be a day or two before I can get out of these woods. Right now, we're standing here. The weather report was dry until noon, from noon till 4 thundershowers, from till about 9, from then on out, tornadoes. So that's what we're out dealing with right now. Everybody's soaking wet, standing out here. But you know what? That's what it takes if you want to find out what's really out there. You can't just sit by a computer screen and talk about what's happening. You got to get out in it and live it and see it and feel it and touch it. And that's where we are, and we're doing this for you people out there. So I hope you can appreciate it, because I don't particularly care about getting so wet, you know, but that's just the price you pay, you know.
Hey, Java Bob, so, I got a question. Yep. Now, I was up on one of those other web pages the past week, and one of them was saying, yep, and Mr. Viscardi goes to Las Vegas and gambles all the money he uses on his expeditions away at the casino table. How many casino tables have you guys been to today?
Oh, no, that's not happening, I'll tell you. Let me put it this way. Even if we wanted to, we wouldn't have time for it. So there you go.
I know.
Hey, Greeley.
So,
Java Bob wants you.
We have one more person here who wants to say hello to everybody, and then we'll turn it over to you, Marco Bill.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Java Bob,
our super number one fan and host.
Okay, here we have. We'll let him introduce himself and say hello to everybody out there. Whoa!
Thank you, Jeff.
Flashes of lightning.
Hey, Marco, Bill, we got Dr. Greg Reese with us here.
Oh, yes.
This guy has authored three different books. He's going to talk about it real quick. But he's out there with us. He's braving the elements. Dr. Reese, here you go. This is Marco Bill.
Hello, Dr. Reese. How are you?
Hi, Marco. We're having a great time out here tonight, despite the weather.
Oh, great. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about your book and your background, Doctor?
Well, sure. Yeah, I'm a social scientist and study a sort of countercultural phenomenon. So I have a new book out about the Elvis cult called Elvis Religion, The Cult of the King.
Yes.
It was released back in August. New book coming out this summer called UFO Religion. And right now I'm here researching a book due out in 2008 called Weird Science. And so far I like what I've seen.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your experience today, Doctor.
Well, we found tracks. I didn't expect to see anything over the weekend, to be honest, but some really nice tracks with dermal ridges, and everything was very clear and easy to see, and it was very exciting. I have looked at all the pictures in the books, but I've never seen that in real life, so it was really neat. And looking around at this environment we're in tonight, do you can believe that there just might be something out here that has not yet been discovered?
Well, Dr. Reese, I'll tell you, now, have you ever seen footprints before?
No, other than in the books. This is the first time I've actually seen the physical evidence, and it's a lot more impressive in person than it is in a black and white photograph.
A little more enduring, too, right?
yes.
Gosh, I can't believe it. That's really neat. Well, I think all the listeners will be. I'm looking forward to reading your book on the weird science.
That's right. It should be out in 2008, and I've already had plenty of experiences here that should make the story I have to tell interesting.
Really? Now you have other. I mean, this is not just one. I mean, I'm sure you're going to share all kinds of different experiences, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the book is really focused on scientific research at the margins, you know, science that isn't yet accepted by the mainstream. So I'll be looking at some of the cryptozoology. I'll also be looking at hollow earth theories and lost cities, lost continents, and those sorts of things.
Uh-huh.
So it's an interesting field.
Yes, I bet. Well, that'd be kind of nice to be able to live your dreams. That would be pretty good.
That's right.
Well, heck, we're getting about a minute or so before they close the show. And,
I should hand it back to Tom for the sign-off.
Yeah, I think Tom's going to want to close the show. But thank you so much, Doctor, for sharing your experience with us.
Oh, thank you. I'm listening to your show, and it's quite an honor to actually be participating in it tonight. So.
Well, thank you, and I wish you guys luck. And if you capture one, you're going to make history.
Oh, that's absolutely right. That's what we're counting on doing, too.
I think you're going to do it.
All right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Dr. Reese, by the way. Interesting fellow. I got to tell you, Marco, this has been, it's got to go down in the annals of history. It really does, okay? We've got such a makeup of people. And you don't have a bunch of whiners and a bunch of babies. You've got people out here rolling up their sleeves. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Somebody will probably wake up with pneumonia. Knock on wood, hopefully not. But I got to tell you, they're troopers. These are. And Marco, I wish you were here with us.
So do I. I'm listening to these people, and these aren't people that have been out there all the time and never really kind of, they're so used to it, they don't. You know, they don't think about it because that's just the way it is, right? That's you and all the other team. I mean, they've been out there so many times. But now we have these new people that are there, and they're sharing their experiences, and we actually get the real no deal, the real, real deal of how it really is out there. No McDonald's, no coffee, no.
Well, not only that, here for the first time ever, I mean, there's been a lot of great other journalists and media people here. These guys... man, they came out and they braved the elements, and I'm talking big time, okay? They got wet. They was in the mud. They've been in the water. They've been across the lake. They've been in the swamp. I mean, and they just can't believe that there was something going on until they saw what they saw here today. And I think what's happening right now, Marco Bill, I think we're breaking mainstream America and informing the rest of the world, not that little glitch of people, what the hell's going on now.
And I think that's a great thing to do. I think there's a lot of people out there that if they understood what really takes place, and I think these listeners that are out there that have volunteered to come along with and help, I think this is going to be just a fantastic opportunity when they share their experiences with everybody. And it's just going to bring everybody more closer together, I think, in both belief and just, or even if non-belief, just understanding the situation, I think.
And rightfully so. Well, listen, Marco Bill, I got to get going because we're getting ready. The five teams are getting ready to, we got to ferret them out to the lake only is the only way we can get in there because the lake is so damn high. And hopefully maybe tonight will be the night, but we'll be in with you and everybody tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God bless you guys. To all you Bigfooters here, there, and everywhere. God bless you until tomorrow night.
Okay, Mr. Biscardi, thank you so much. And this was live from Paris, Texas, on Expedition. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back again tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at Pacific Daylight Time. And it goes from 6 o'clock to 6:30, a special broadcast, Bigfoot Live Radio on Expedition, live.
Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, Marco. Well, we're a little wet, to say the least. Those of you who have heard the weather reports or listened to the Weather Channel and check on the news, we were kind of hit pretty good last night. 70 and 80 mile an hour winds. Tornadoes stopped down on one of the areas here. Our guys searching. And one of our boats got swamped, believe it or not. So we got a licking, but we kept on ticking, if you know what I'm talking about. And let me prove something to the world out there, okay? We had five teams out searching. Three of the five teams had a visual encounter of the creature. Now, you guys are going to have to... I'm going to try to get everybody who's had an encounter on the phone here, but it was incredible to brave the elements that these people have braved over the last few days, including tonight. We're out here tonight, Marco, believe it or not, okay? It's raining as we're speaking to you, and some people are looking for a branch to stay under, a leaf to stay under, or a rig. And let me tell you something. These people who've traveled near, far, everywhere, okay, are experiencing things like they've never experienced in their life, okay? Let's go to the first one. There was an area called Clay's Bluff in which Tommy was the team leader with Jim Snell and Laurel Jones and Lee Leon. Are any of the Tommy's team on the line now?
We're here.
Okay, so we got the two pals. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk to Lee Leon. That's him. Tell him that's our guys there, by the way. You got to forgive me because we're going to be jumping in and out. We got guys all over, and the weather is just so inclement. It's crazy right now. Lee, would you be kind enough to tell the story as you saw it?
Well, it was, like you said, the weather was extremely... It's something I've never experienced before. Tornadoes, Bigfoot, knockings. We went down to our area was where they found prints, the recent prints. And when we got down there, Tommy Jr. had us sit and listen for a while. Where we were, we could hear movement, but not anything significant. It wasn't until we got up into the main road is where we had our most major experience. And that was actual tree knockings And as we walked in, sit still, to be silent to hear, we heard an answer back, I would say, from that tree knocking. And then probably about 200 feet from the water, they caught an image on the IR. And it was incredible. You can actually see this creature stooping down, and I saw it rock once. And, of course, at that point, my alarm system went on, and I started looking around. But there was just so much. We were all trying to get a chance to look at this thing. I had the backs of my team members so they can actually see this. And they got to see more than I got to, but it was there. And so, Laura, why don't you tell them what you saw?
Okay. It was the most phenomenal thing I've ever seen.
Who's it, Laura? Can you tell me
this is
moment?
This is Laurel Jones, Marco.
Okay.
Hi, Marco.
Hi, Laurel.
Okay, are we ready?
Well, no, we're ready. I just wanted to know, let the listeners know your name.
Okay. This is the most phenomenal experience I've ever had. When we were looking through the IR and could see this creature, after the battery went dead, so they were sort of visualizing in the woods, you could actually see it stand up, move between the trees, and it was not a tree. It would crouch, it would go to the tree and stop, and then you could see it move between the trees. And I was like, Lee, you know, your defenses sort of went up at that point, so we're watching it, and it went down closer to the water. The next thing I know, we're hearing noises and seeing a movement on the other side of the road, which we think gave this creature time to reposition itself, and we sort of got escorted back. We could hear movement and rustle on both sides. I did see something on the left side. We turned around and went back to the car. It wasn't anything that I could totally distinguish, but I mean, I don't know what it was. I just didn't see it. You could hear it. We heard the wood knocking. We all heard that. We were maybe 200 feet from the car when we heard that. And that, I guess that's one reason I think there was definitely more than one out there. It was like it was sentries who were guarding their territory. And when we were there, they it's like they were telling us, you know, this is ours. When that creature stood up between the trees, it really reaffirmed things, because I could see it. It was not a tree that was rocking. It was not a tree that was moving. It just was literally move in the spaces of the trees, and you could see it. It was huge. And then the noise on the one side, the rustling on the one side stopped, so we just sort of all started backing out and then turned around. And you could, as we were going back to the car, you could hear them on either side of us. They were there. We would move 3 or 4 feet, and you would hear the rustle going down the road beside us on either side. It was phenomenal.
How would you sum this up, Laurel? If you were to talk to someone else, now you've been with us now 3 days, 4 days, whatever the heck it may be. I don't even remember anymore. I don't even know what day it is. You've been through Fox, ABC, television, and press people here. You become a journeyman overnight in virtuality. I mean, people go all their lives to never see what you've seen, okay? The first day you come out, yesterday, during the day, you casted a print, man. You actually rolled up your sleeves and learned how to cast a print. And when you saw those prints, what went through your head?
I've always believed in them, but until you actually see something, you have that little doubt. When I saw that print, and you can see it, people have to see the cast itself. You can see it in the dirt and not understand the full concept of what's going on. But when we actually got the one cast out and you turned it over and you could see all of the little details of this, it's so indescribable. I mean, I believed in it before, but I guess you could say now I'm a true believer, and I'm someone like everyone else out here. I want to find out what this is. I don't want to hurt it because it's just like anything else, but we need to find out what it is. We need to be able to capture one. And it, you know, it's not out there trying to hurt us, and we're trying to hurt it, but we have to do what we have to do, and I can't wait. I mean, just seeing that. But honestly, when I saw footprints, that was a shock to me because I thought, okay, this is really true. But when I saw that cast, when it first came over and you could see the impressions of all this stuff, it just blew my mind.
Fantastic. Well, I got to tell you this, you know, now that you know who Searching for Bigfoot is, Tom and Sturdy is, Deborah, Bob, TJ, the whole crew, when you hear a lot of this nonsense out there, these guys are just in this for the glory and for 15 minutes of fame and what have you, what do you say about that?
Oh, I'm telling they're crazy. How can people say that it's 15 minutes of fame if they don't know? Honestly, this is the first thing like this I've ever done. But had I known, and I was lucky because I did get to see Prince and I had an actual sighting the very first time, which to me is phenomenal because there's been people that have been doing this for years and not had a sighting.
Exactly.
You know, I figured when I went out there we might hear something, but I never thought that I would actually get to see anything. And it's phenomenal. You know, people need to understand that this is for real.
Laurel, thank you so much. Is Lee still by you?
She sure is.
You know,
put her on. I want to ask
Tom,
her.
We have another
questions.
We have a listener on the line. It's 205.
Hi.
Karen.
I'm here.
Oh.
Maybe, let's see who this listener is. Go ahead.
I got to unmute. Area code 205. You're on Bigfoot Live Radio Special. Go ahead.
Hi. Who's 205?
Area code
205? 205, you're out there?
Your phone.
Okay, Marco, don't take any calls. We have a short period of time here.
That's right.
Okay, let's not. We don't have time for games. Lee, are you still out there?
I'm here.
Okay. How would you describe, Lee, what you've experienced over the last 2 or 3 days?
Well, it's been, for one thing, it's been a learning experience. I would have to say that's number one, because I've never had to be in the element the way I have the last 2 days. And I can say that your team is extremely knowledgeable and respectful of the elements. And because of that, they took care of me and Laurel and our team last night. And I know that they had the best interest for everyone else. Everybody out there last night had a different, had to deal with the weather differently. And we haven't even had a chance to get together and really compare stories. I mean, it's an adventure. It's an adventure. It's an adventure.
The thing that people, I guess, that they really don't understand, maybe you could tell it firsthand coming from yourself. Since the time you arrived here, right now to present, has there been any downtime for you, or have
no,
you been running
like
everyone else?
We haven't stopped. I guess because this is just, it's opportunity. I mean, whatever comes, you have to just go where where the leads are. But there's just so much to this. I never knew there was so much involved, and people putting in personal time and money and energy and wisdom, and mostly just the fact that everybody's willing to work together to find out what the heck this thing is. What is this creature that has everybody so curious and unrested until we know what this is? And
you know,
brought everybody together, and we thank you for that opportunity, because I don't know anybody else. I don't know of any other organization that has done this. I don't.
Well,
so,
thank you so much, Lee. And the thing that I want our listeners to understand, okay, you know, they all know how to do that blogging and they know how to do that forum stuff, but when it comes to reality and their feet hit the ground, how many of them actually get to come out and do what you've done and seen what you've seen in such a short period of time? Think about that.
I wish they would get from behind the blogs and the computer and come out here and sit in the rain and the tornadoes going over your head and see what these creatures do when that's happening. And then you'll have a different point of view.
Yeah. Can I just get one thing in? Sure.
This is Laurel. I just want to tell you, this was Lee's and my first experience, and I have to tell you that your team, which was mostly men, and they were made up of mostly men, have been so great with us. They have helped us. They have guided us. They have shown us everything we needed to know to be right up there with them knowledge-wise. And it's just been a fantastic experience, and it is all thanks to your team.
Oh, so much, Laurel. And I'm glad you said that, okay, because it's a point well made. And I want my listening audience out there to understand something, okay, when they hear the story. Oh, but Scardy doesn't want to share nothing with us, okay, or he wants that 15 minutes of glory, Lee. Can you believe that? And is my life an open book when we're in the field?
I can tell you that you're totally focused, and you're just trying to get to the bottom of this, and whatever it takes to get to the bottom of it. You're not in it for the glory that I can see. I think it's a passion that you're just trying to fill before the day that God calls you home.
Well, and thank you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Lee Leon, and then we had Laurel Jones. That was Southern California and Ohio. I understand that we got New York. Andy, are you out there? Andy's been with us, too.
He's right
here. Can we talk to Andy? Yeah, okay.
Okay, here he is.
All right.
Hello,
Andy.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, good buddy. Well, I want our listening audience to hear it from live from the people who are here, who came from all over this country. Tell them what you experienced yesterday, Andy.
Well, yesterday it wasn't exciting as the girls. I was in a different area, and we had to cross a lake, which was almost 2 miles wide. Where we actually walked in, we had to cross just to get there. And when we got there, the first half of people that went had a sighting. And it was pretty interesting. They said it was crouched down beside a tree, and then they took another look and it was gone. But I got there, you know, it was raining pretty hard. We got caught the edge of a tornado, and that was pretty interesting.
Wait. You sound like you're an old timer now. God bless you. My God, well, I go through this every day now. Let the listeners understand it through your voice and your emotions as you saw it and experienced it last night. You told them about going over 2 miles over the lake to get to the area you were like. What was the area like? Was it swampy? Was it tarmac? Was it cemented? What was it like? I mean, was there bugs out there? Explain it all.
It was a little of everything. You know, one minute it would be mucky and slippery, and you'd be sinking in mud. The next minute you'd be walking in dense forest. You'd be on level ground, and you'd be going up inclines. And the rain was just coming down. I mean, it was just pouring. And
tell them. Lightning, yeah, there you go.
Lightning flashes, and it really set the scene. It was.
How dark was it out there?
When we shut our lights off, it was pitch black. It was pretty dark. And when we put them on, the bugs just came from everywhere. Okay, so you remember there was no win situation here. What I'd like to tell is what happened to me yesterday, which I'm sure a lot of people, you know, that didn't hear it yesterday would like to hear it today. You know, we were at the site where the prints were, and they were being cast, and a lot of the people left, and TJ, me and the girls, Lee and Laurel, were left there to pull the rest of the prints up. And while we were waiting for them to dry, the alpha male was closer to the lake, and the female was up about 30, 35 yards. And they went up to check on those prints, and I stayed down by the alpha male's prints, and I was sitting on the log. And I'm sitting there just taking in the whole scenery, because this lake, when you say it looks like Jurassic Park, I was just, like, completely blown away by the lake.
and it's daylight at this point. So I'm sitting on the log, and I got birds and frogs chirping all around me. And then all of a sudden, it was like somebody cut it with a knife right out of the middle. To the left of me, everything got quiet. And I just, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. You know, I've been hunting for years, so I know this. And it immediately jumped right out at me. So I got my camera out, and I started hearing some rustling in the trees next to me, maybe about 35, 30 yards in. And I turned to the left, and I pointed my camera at this clearing. And I zoomed in, and I waited. But it never came. But there was definitely something there. Can I say it was Bigfoot? No, I can't. I mean, but it could have been, they say there's 500-pound pigs running around there. So it could have been anything, but it was an experience. And I can honestly say I had one. The prints were unbelievable. I mean, people have gone 10 years searching for Bigfoot and never found a print. So just to experience that was worth the whole trip.
I mean, it's an experience and a half, and I appreciate, you know, your honesty. What do you tell these people out there, Andy, okay, about the Searching for Bigfoot crew and Tom Biscardi when you hear them say, oh, wow, man, Biscardi doesn't go out there. He doesn't go researching. He goes in somebody's backyard. What do you say to those people?
See, that's ignorance, and, you know, it's very easy to sit on your computer and try to call the shots. This is a passion. And the people who, and I'm hoping this is not my last time, you know, I want further adventures in the future. And, you know, it's very easy to sit by your computer and go on an adventure. And they really have no clue. I mean, your crew is unbelievable. These guys know what they're doing, and they get out there. You, your son, Java Bob, and Java Bob, I have all the respect for in the world because he's not in the best health. And this guy gets out there. And he was, you were talking late this morning, he was going through quicksand.
Yeah.
And so
why did you tell? You know, I'm glad you said that, okay? And Hawk and Hondo, they were heading off your team at one area, Big Bluff, and then to the right of you guys was Visor. And how come, tell everybody out there why they couldn't hook up with you at first. What was wrong with, what's in between you two guys?
It was quicksand.
That's right. And they couldn't get over, but they tried, huh?
Right. Yeah, it took a while.
I finally went to higher ground and got out and got and met you guys, and which I think was 5:30 this morning. People don't understand that, okay?
Yes.
That you almost 8 hours in the brush, in the elements, Andy.
Yes, yes.
So
Hawk, and we have the snake man sitting right next to me. You know, the snake man went out, and he went under, and he checked all the logs for snakes and made sure the area was secure before we hunkered down for a while because it got pretty bad out there.
Now, people out there that don't understand the word hunkering down, what does that mean, Andy?
It means you form a tight group and you sit tight. You find the driest place you can find and pretty much make the best of it for a while.
And why did I instruct you people to do that?
Because that was probably that was probably the safest thing to do.
What was going on outside?
We had a winds that I would say were ranging from between, we had a pretty much a steady wind, probably of about 40 miles an hour, but then you would get gusts that probably went to 70 or 80. I mean, the trees were just bending, and we were looking up going, you know, we were actually looking at the trees with the night vision to see if any of them were dead, if no leaves on them, to see if they might come down, but, you know, we were ready at any time. And at one point, Hawk was nodding aft against the tree. And this wind came, and he took off. I mean, he got up and started running. He's like, come on. He thought we were getting hit. But it was just the edge that got us.
Wow.
I guess the one that hit you guys.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, our camp was demolished.
Okay? Yeah, it was.
there was points in time about, I don't know, anywhere from 12 midnight to about 3:30 in the morning that I thought the wind was going to pick up our rig, which has got to be 3-4 tons with the trailers and everything. And it was moving it and rocking it like you wouldn't believe. It was incredible. What did you say?
Poor Roger. He was in bed when it took him.
Oh, it was the end of the bed? Yeah, yeah. One of our guys had slipped in and had hurt himself, and he was taking a nap before he decided to go out later on. He's with us now. He's in the tent, and the tent collapses and starts to roll with the wind, and he was in it. He comes out all disheveled and everything. He says, "What happened?" He says, "My God." He says, "I says, get in one of the rigs quick, Pat, before he gets blown away." It was incredible. As a matter of fact, we got you on the phone. Roger, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Tell everybody your experience quickly.
Well, I was there and laying back and getting a nap because I was just taking my medication, and I was a little tired, and I got laid down, and I was just the sound of the raindrops just lullabied me to sleep, and before I knew it, I was starting to tumble, and the tent was over on top of me, and I was screaming for somebody to come get me out of there.
I want you guys to know I'm laughing with everybody, not just at Roger, because he has my respect very dearly, believe me. He's a great guy. But if you had seen him, to see how he was in a disarray, he'd come out of that tent. He goes, "What happened? I can't believe it." He said, "Did a Bigfoot pick up the tent and throw me?"
That's what I thought.
It was incredible.
I saw it about 4 hours after that happened.
Roger, since you've been here with us now, okay, you've been here, you came to the point to survey the whole thing. What do you have to say about this whole thing since you've been here?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been doing a lot of surveying and searching on my own, but when Tom invited me to come out here for this adventure, I was like totally in awe. And I'll tell you, these people are right on the top of everything. They know what they're doing, and even in a crisis, we still pull through and we get together and we just get past everything. No matter what, whether we got a tornado hitting us or not, we're still out there, and we're still doing the job.
And you know what, Roger, you're so right. And you know what, I want to thank all of my team members, all of our new friends, all of our new people all over this country that have joined us. They pulled together like you would not believe. I mean, this was an ordeal. It was a crisis, like Roger said, okay? These people didn't cry. They didn't bitch and moan. They hunkered down. They waited for it, and they got back up and did their job, okay? And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? They're back at it again tonight, okay? And just can't wait to get out, okay, and do what they're doing. And the elements, they say, are going to be just as bad tonight as it was yesterday. Who else do we have online that we haven't heard from?
Yeah, I'm going to give you to the snake, man. Hold on.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, Bruce, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Okay. Well, you've got exactly 60 seconds to go over your encounter last night. We're almost at the end of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bruce Shoup. Bruce Shoup. He's the licensed varmint catcher out here at Paris. Varmints meaning any type of snakes, alligators, or anything, nuisance animals. They call him, and he comes out and extracts them. Bruce, tell them your encounter last night.
Okay. No sooner had I stepped off the boat and the team that I was with, we made our way up to where the camera was. We went a little bit past the camera, and I used the night vision and spotted a form sitting right at the tree in the fetal position. And it it was incredible just seeing it, because you could make it, all the details on it, you know? And I was just in awe. It was a juvenile because of the size of it that I could tell.
Wow.
You know?
What did you think of your experience there last night?
Oh, I loved it. I was at home in the elements.
There you go. There you go. Well, you know what? We enjoyed having you. Where are you at tonight anyway?
Right across from you.
Oh, you are? Okay, so you're here tonight with us too again. All right.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm at a disadvantage. I'm in a foggy car. I can't see outside. The rain is pouring down. But I'm, you know, we've got the passion for our show and our listeners out there, and we promised you that we'd tell you, give you up-to-date a blow-by-blow. Is TJ and Bob out there? Yeah, hold on. Here's Bob right now.
Hey.
Who's that, Tommy?
Hey, TJ.
Oh, TJ, okay. Why don't you give about 10 seconds of what's happening out here?
Well, all I got to say is that if you're not here, you're never, ever, ever going to get a chance to experience what these people have experienced. I didn't think that I would have the second opportunity in my life to see a creature and expect exactly have people with me see what I'm seeing, when I'm seeing, how I'm seeing it, at the same time to verify it. So we all know what we saw last night. We saw the creature. And if you want to see the creature, you're not going to see it by yourself. The only way you're going to see a creature is with SearchingForBigfoot.com.
Hey, thanks, Tommy. Jabba Bob, here you are.
Yeah, hi, Tom. How's things going up there? You know what I found out?
What?
Texas rain is wet. Texas mud is thick, gooey, and sticky. And you know what? When you're out here in a tornado, it's nasty. But you know what? That's our job. That's what we do. If we're going to prove to the world that this thing is out there, we're not going to do it from a computer screen. We're not going to do it from our living rooms or from the library. We got to get out where it's at, and that's what we do. So last night was a perfect example, and we had a group of people out here with us. They not only got to see what we do, but they were confident enough in our abilities that they went out with us to do it. And even though it was some of the most horrific conditions you can imagine, there's not a one of them out there that didn't enjoy it, because the results were so dramatic. We had five teams out there. Three of the five teams actually had first-hand encounters. I mean, that is incredible. There are people that do this for years and years and years and never get to see what these people got to see. So when that happens, it makes all the misery we had to go through to get there worth it. And I'm just glad we had the opportunity, and we got hooked up with such a great bunch of people, and they got to get out and see what we do and be with us. And probably opened a lot of eyes. It opened a lot of eyes, and it got a lot of adrenaline pumping.
A listener question for me.
How
is the equipment working?
Well, you know, this is pre-inclement weather conditions. Certainly wasn't the best. And I actually was I was more hopeful that we could get a little more out of it. But considering that what we were working with and where we were, I'm not going to complain.
But obviously the infrared must have worked fairly well, or the night vision must have worked pretty well. So,
actually, the infrared came on, and once the weather got going, it was blowing the poles down and everything else. We lost it.
Wow.
What worked was good old roll up your sleeves and get the job done. So people went out, and what they did, we had some handheld equipment, and that's what we relied on, and we were able to move ahead anyway. You know, Bill, we don't let anything stop us.
Oh, absolutely not. I just wanted to hear it for the listeners, and thank you.
Yeah, I don't think people don't have any idea how. My wife heard about it on the news. She freaked out, you know. And we got to a point where our group, we had to just take a plastic ponchos, cover ourselves up, and lay flat down on the ground to keep from getting blown away.
Wow.
But, that's what we did. That's what we did. We just hunkered down and waited till it was okay to get back to the other groups. And Tom was on the radio with us, giving us all instructions to get us together. And it worked. It took an extra few hours to get back to base camp, but we all got there. Nobody got hurt. And so and they had those encounters, I would call that a total success.
So did I. That's what I thought as soon as I heard about it.
Okay, Marco Bill, we're coming there to the last of the hour here. I guess we got to get off. Hopefully tomorrow night we'll have a lot of good news to relay to you and all of our listeners out there. And Ray Crow, thank you so much in the chat room. Marco Bill, as ever, we wouldn't be anywhere if we didn't have you. To all my Bigfooters, here, there, and everywhere, until tomorrow night.
So this is Marco Bill signing off. See you tomorrow.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determined.